Blog Talk Radio.
It builds a massive movement
of folks doing those things with great honor. Build on your strengths and find the resources and people that you may require in other areas. Personally, I look for individuals who are gifted in areas other than mine. We can then bless each other by the sharing of our gifts and talents, and we get to focus on our own true areas of expertise, building them and making them much, much stronger. Accentuate the positive. So, again, that could be found at RevSandy.wordpress.com. Well, you know, it's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight, you get to share the mic. We're calling this open mic. So so many have shared from their expertise, and we learn so much from one another. And last month particularly, it was just such a variety of opinions and thoughts that people had. And so I want to continue that at least one Tuesday a month so that everybody gets to chime in and share and bring up subjects, you know, that maybe I hadn't thought about or considered, or this is an opportunity that we get to bring those up. So just want to know what you want to talk about, right? So we gave respect and honor for each of the persons that spoke last month. We're going to continue that this month. I ask that we just keep it clean and respectful, and there'll be no criticism, no blaming, no guilt, no none of that. You know, we're just going to sit here and be one with you as you bring up whatever topics you choose to talk about. And so in order to do that and to make it beneficial for those individuals that are sharing from their soul and from their spirit, what I would ask for you to do is to make sure that when your line is open and you're taking a break from talking, just put your phone on mute so that it's clean, that there's no background noise. Say that fast. So that there's no interference from, you know, moving papers or coughing or, you know, something like that. So our call-in number here is 516-531-9819, and you would just hit one on the dial to let me know you want to speak live on air with us. And if you ever want to go back and listen to any of the shows, you can do that online by going to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's all one word, /Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRogers. So look, you guys, So I've got this studio of music, and there's quite a few songs in there, and it's pretty easy for me to kind of match up the song with the guests, and it's a little bit different for today. I got like 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. I got 8 different songs out here, but I think I know the one that I want to play, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and find out what's on your mind. Thanks for listening to Life, Love, and Wellness. We'll be right back after the music break.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're gonna be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, cause they built your muscle. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your hustle. Your faith ain't never small. That's what brought you this far. Yeah. See, you got your dreams and you got your prayers and you got your God. Take you home. Everybody has a season.
Mary say, go get it. Go get your blessings. You've been qualified with mercies multiplied. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We got Truthful Tuesday going on today with the mic open up just for you. Tell us what's on your mind. I got our first caller on. Tell us who you are, what you got to say to us.
Hello?
Yes, there you go. You with us?
Hello?
Yes,
can
ma'am.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was me or someone else. But that song was right on time. I needed to hear that. And this is Vera Thomas, and I want to thank you for having me on last week. It was awesome, and I just want to encourage people to seriously consider registering for the program Instilling Greatness in Myself and My Children. The program is on November 6th. The deadline for registration is October 30th, and I've got a special thing that I'm doing tonight.
What you got, girl?
Well, before I tell them, let me explain to them what and how my process will work. I am asking each registrant two questions. The first question is, what is my number one challenge as a parent? And the second question is, what is my number one challenge in my home? Now, with everybody asking that question, I will be responding by customizing a workshop for results. And I say again, for results. I've got 40 years experience doing this kind of work, and I have worked with parents and children as well as companies and organizations, but my heart is with children and their parents. And so in asking adults this question, I will develop the program in that way. But tonight, I am running a special just for tonight. The training is $197 for the workshop, but if anyone registers before midnight tonight, they can register for $150.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm doing it in honor of both my sisters and my mother because none of them lived long enough to see my age. And so I'm honoring them by offering this workshop, Instilling Greatness in Myself and My Children, for $150. And this is scheduled for November 6th at 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. You do not want to miss this. If you are having any challenges as a parent in your home, so
awesome.
To connect with, they need to know where to go to register.
You're excited, and that's good.
I am. They would go to bit.ly/ Instilling Greatness. And in order to get the discount, you will need to put in My Greatness, all caps. My Greatness, all caps. And again, that's bit.ly/ Instilling Greatness. And to get the discount, put in My Greatness, all caps. Now, Sandy, you know I got to go into this clubhouse. And so
but you know what I would like to say before Vera leaves? So the opening message for today was accentuate the positive, talking about building on your areas of strength to a point where they become brilliance and expertise. This is Vera's brilliance and expertise. I have seen her in action doing this workshop in the past. She is phenomenal. This may be something you want to give as a gift to one of your children that have children. So it would be benefiting your child plus your grandchildren. But she brings so much to this. I've seen little children, 5 and 6 years old, that are actively involved in the workshop and having something to say and wanting to be heard. People are engaged. So it's going to be dynamic. It is a dynamic workshop, and I highly, highly endorse this program, Instilling Greatness in Myself and My Children. Pass the word on to someone else, maybe one of your siblings or maybe one of your children. Just pass it on. Spread the word. It is so time for us to support each other versus some other programs that are run by other people. Vera is a supporter. She's a friend. She's been in this work 40-plus years. Let's give her the honor and support that she needs to carry on with what she is doing in the world. And we thank you, Vera, for following suit and doing what Mary said, go get it, girl, go get your blessings. So she is actively marketing her program, and I am just so proud of her for stepping out and doing this. Again, that's bit.ly, which is bit.ly/ Instilling Greatness. And if you register today before midnight, you get 25% off. That's huge, you guys. 25% off. The password for that is My Greatness. Vera, many blessings to you as you continue to promote your program. And I know that it is already multiplied. And thank you so much for sharing it with us and allowing the guests here to know about the huge discount that you're giving. And we bless you for honoring your mom and your two sisters.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything. Thank you so much. And if you get a chance after your show, if you're not too tired, join me on Clubhouse.
I'll be over there. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Got to see you in action.
Awesome.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay, then I'll see you. All right, God bless, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome. And I'll make another announcement about the discount and how to sign up for the show. So thank you, the workshop.
Oh, thank you for doing that. Okay, God bless.
You're welcome. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that was our first caller, and, you know, Vera was our guest last week, and so she has been working on that workshop and stepping up and stepping out. And so that was one of the areas I actually wanted to talk about tonight. And it's storing healthy habits, that's how I kind of worded it. But what have you stopped doing that maybe you're a little embarrassed about it because you stopped doing it, but you once were doing it so faithfully and so regularly? And for whatever reason, if you want to say that it's because the way of the world changed, that's perfectly okay. But do you have things that you kind of slid away from? And it happened to me. And you find yourself being reminded by people that you've had discussions with or, you know, have come back to compliment you for giving them this wonderful advice, and you're like stuck, like, oh my God, I'll stop doing that, but I can't tell them, you know, I'm not doing it. And I was really blessed yesterday, actually, with a friend that I hadn't spoken to in a long time that called and was thanking me so profusely about his healthy living style and how he used those suggestions that I gave him and how his health, where he was once diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he is doing marvelously well, how it has impacted his life by just doing the things that we've talked about in the past. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I do pretty good, but I'm not as steadfast in following some of the suggestions I may give as far as getting proper rest or eating mostly plant-based and not supporting fast foods. And what I mean fast foods, now, if I do a fast food, it's going to be from a vegan spot or a plant-based establishment. So it's not like I'm going to, you know, buy a hamburger or anything like that. But still, you know, you control it when you prepare it yourself. And you know, you get to put your love in it, and you know what it is. And especially, like I enjoy doing, if you grow it and prepare it and eat it, you know what you're feeding your body. But I just was wondering, you know, anybody else have anything that they were doing regularly, let's say a year and 9 months ago, that maybe they're not doing anymore for whatever reason, for whatever it is? You know, like right now, we can kind of blame Corona for losing our step in this healthy lifestyle. You know, we maintaining certain routines are not always real easy to do. So I'm going to say it like that. Just think about it. And if you want to share anything that you've gotten away from, or if you've had any insights as to why you may be feeling a little down and out, maybe because, you know, you're not drinking sufficient water or you're not getting enough sleep. I have been sleeping so much recently, and I'm just enjoying it. You know, I would get up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, and unable to get back to sleep. And now, man, it's like I can't get out of the bed here, you know. And it's probably the change in weather. You know, the fall is always a beautiful time because you go to bed, it's a little cool, or, you know, it's still kind of warm. And then when you wake up in the morning, it's so crisp, and you just want to stay in the bed and hug on those covers some more. And so I've been hugging them covers around me and have been enjoying it immensely. So that's kind of what's on my mind. And then, you know, I'm always curious as to how our media outlets are so controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. It's just amazing to me sometimes how these products that are not obviously being tested properly or long enough before they're put out on the market. And I say that because there are so many lawyers that are doing class action suits against these pharmaceutical companies because of the dangers, health dangers, death, maiming, loss of limbs, just, you know, you name it, and a lot of that is a direct result of the prolonged use of certain medications. And I'm finding you can just watch TV, it doesn't matter what channel and for how long, but there's going to be something, a pharmaceutical company is going to have one of their products on the TV, and if you listen very carefully, we must improve our listening and our observation skills as we're going through life more now than ever before, because the messages are so subtle. For those of you that are a little bit more mature like myself, you remember they said that Prince had hidden messages in his music, and if you played the music backwards, you can hear his hidden messages, right? So I'm going to say the same process is happening with these pharmaceutical companies, but you ain't got to play nothing backwards. It's right there in your face. Now, they have been clever and crafty enough to show people hugging each other and kissing and going out to places and having fun on the beach and the sand, as they're telling you, if you take this medicine, it may cost you your life. It may cost you your rational thinking. It may cause any number of other more traumatic illnesses or diseases within your body. I believe that a large part of that is, and there's plenty of books. So if you want to learn for yourself, do your own research. There are a number of very intelligent, very educated authors who have gone in and studied various programs, processes, drugs, drug interactions, and have reported on them, how some of these chemicals are made to harm certain groups of people, and how wealthier people don't eat the same thing as lower income individuals do. So it's just, it's kind of sad and disheartening. But to get back to the pharmaceutical companies, so when we truly listen to the commercial, and you can try, not try, you could also look away from the TV or, you know, your screen as you're listening to the commercial, and then that way you don't have the visual that's connected to it. But they'll tell you, you know, take this for, I'm going to use something really way outside the box. This is not something that I've seen, so I want to preface that statement. So say that you're doing something, you're taking, men are taking something for erectile dysfunction. Now, to understand that, the erection comes with the blood flow. So if there is some issue with a man having a problem with erection, then that's going to eventually lead to some heart issues. That's where the blood pumps from, flows from, right? And so they come out with a pill and say, take this and it'll keep your erection for 5 hours. Look, I have no idea what none of those pills do, say, and how long they're supposed to last. I'm just making this up. And so I remember years back when they first came out with this stuff, and I was working in a delivery company, and so many of the guys was just like out buying those pills. Even when I worked at a herb shop, you know, it would be young people, young guys coming in, and they would be buying that stuff, and I was like, do you know what that's going to do to you, you know? And they like, no, but I just need it, you know, I need it for tonight, or, you know, I'm hanging out, going out with my girl, or, you know, something like that. But just think, so what is that doing to that person's issues? Is that going to cost in the long run of repeated use of these different types of chemicals and pharmaceuticals, right? So I've just thinking of something. Maybe that particular untested for prolonged usage pill that's going to allow a man to have an erection for an extended period of time, what if it causes brain damage? Because for some kind of way, and again, this is extremely hypothetical. I'm just making this up as we go along today. I have nothing scripted, nothing written out. But because the blood flow is not going through the body like it should, from the heart, you know, down to the penis, into the other parts of the body, so it's getting more diverted down to the penis, right? And so what if the lack of blood to some of the other organs and areas of the body causes issue? And so those are some of the things, because I did see a commercial for a pharmaceutical, and it was saying that the side effects would cause brain cancer. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, and it was something simple like eczema or psoriasis. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but, you know, a pill that will cause that in your body because you are not told or not informed that if you change the foods that you eat, that you can very well clear up anything that is disturbing your healthy state of being. Because we come here in a very healthy state, and the creator of all life has already created the very fruits and vegetables and those things that we require to maintain our body in a completely healthy state. And so I'm just amazed at how they get away from being ethical and how the legal system is set up so that it's okay. I really have a problem with that. And in having this discussion with someone recently over the last couple of months or so, the person, which, and it makes so much sense to me, you know, he said, well, they can do it, and they charge this huge amount of money. They stack up money, and then when all of these side effects and all of this harm to human life happens, then that's when the that's when those lawsuits come out. And so now what they can do is they can afford to go and pay these different fines and amounts of money to people because they destroyed their life and have died, or, you know, like I said, they lost a limb, or something else more tragic has happened in another part of their body. But I just think that's so unfair, you know. And so before, I'm not a doctor. I haven't gone to anybody's medical school. I have been misdiagnosed several times, and through study of the human body, the human anatomy and food, and learning what foods are healthy, I have reversed chronic. They told me it was going to kill me, and I've outlived my prognosis by 20 years, and from what the doctor told me, you know, if I didn't take pills that was making me sick, I mean, really, really tragically ill, more so than what the so-called disease was. But, you know, God bless my mother, who had the wherewithal to say, maybe there's a different way. Maybe this stuff, these pills that are being given to us, maybe they're not all what they're cracked up to be. And this was back in the 70s, so I'm talking about 40 years ago. And everybody thought she was crazy back then, you know, like, ooh, Miss Brown, you know what? These doctors ain't going to give us something that's not good for us. And that's what most of us believe. And we have this undying dedication and belief that whatever they tell us has got to be true. Well, what about your body? Do you ever ask your body, what can I do to make you better? And sit and listen to what your answer is. You've been with your body longer than anybody. Even your parents, even your mother, because your mother is not around you 24 hours a day, but you are. You know when you do something that disagrees with your body. It could be eating too much sugary stuff. Could be having one too many alcoholic beverages. It could be smoking weed that has too much THC, or whatever the situation is. It could be taking these pills to get you high and then taking pills to get you to go to sleep. You know, so there's a lot that we don't pay attention to that's going on within our bodies. And we allow it to just keep happening and happening because, you know, whatever, we're not accustomed to taking action to better our condition. We just, you know, follow along, and then hopefully that's what I hear a lot of people say. Well, I'm going to take this pill, and hopefully I'm going to get better. And I'll be like, okay. So anyway, that's my little take on pharmaceuticals. What you guys, what's on your mind? Right? What's on your mind? So there's another pill. I wrote this down, so I'm going to tell you about this other one, too. It's for a mental health illness. And one of the side effects, it said, from the prescription medicine was a swollen throat or swollen nasal passage. Can you believe that? You can't breathe. If your throat or your nasal passages are swollen, you're going to have difficulty breathing. Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm going to get off of that. So last month, maybe a month ago, I spent 4 or 5 days in the country of Belize. And I had the most incredible time. I still have people asking, you went by yourself? What did you do? You didn't do anything. What do you mean you didn't have your phone and you weren't on Facebook and Instagram and you wasn't posting what you were doing? And so I'm relearning because I had not done that since the beginning, I guess, of last year. Find that space to just be me, to just be in love with me, to care and treat me right and beautiful and loving, and not allow any outside anything to disturb my peace of mind and what I said I needed, wanted, and desired to do. So that's one thing I'm going to be doing a lot more of, is to love on me, get some more of that self-care in, have those do not disturb moments. And that was another probably weekly, I don't think it was any more than weekly, where I would unplug, have a pajama day. That's another, I haven't had a pajama day in, in ages. So those are some of the things that I haven't done in this current time and space that I am desiring to get back to. What's on your mind? What's on your mind, guys? All right, I got a caller here. Opening up the line for him, 404-295. You want to give us your name and what's on your mind?
Well, good evening, Sister Sandy. This is Harriet. Harriet.
Hey, Harriet.
How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. You know, I was tempted to jump in there when you were talking about the pharmaceutical company, but
you could have.
I was tempted, but you were covering basically all of what I would have said about it, because you know that's a pet peeve of mine. The pharmaceutical companies, they actually set aside billions of dollars every
mm-hmm.
time a new medication is released. Because they know that it will cause harm and even death to people. So they actually set aside money so that they can pay those settlements, because they know when they release a medication that there will be people who are harmed by it.
Wow.
And so when people sue, you know, they have that money already sitting there waiting. But they feel like it's worth their... is worthwhile to them to go ahead and release the medications and let people take them, because they're going to rake in a lot more money than they're going to pay out. But yeah, they already have that covered. Set aside money that they know they'll have to pay out, because every medication has some kind of side effects. You know, some are more severe than others. So that they're already ready for us.
So
anyway,
for those of you I just want to pre-qualify you. For those of you that are not aware, Harriet has spent more than 40 years of her life as a nurse. And so she's right there with the patients and with the doctors. And she's very well educated in medicine. And so she knows what she's talking about, is what I'm saying. So thank you, Harriet, for...
And so I recognize, too, the importance of, to me, a plant-based lifestyle. There's really no other way to go if you plan to, you know, try to live a long time and be healthy. Plant-based eating is the best route to go. Trying to do away with that processed stuff, all those white things, white sugar, white flour, white rice. You know, all of those, do away with that stuff if you plan to be healthy. And, you know, people say,
yeah,
well, you know, don't tell us how to eat or whatever, but I'm just telling you what I've seen work, not just for myself, but for people who become very serious about their diet. And diet, exercise, you know, meditation, deep breathing, you know, all of it goes hand in hand. All of it. And self-care. Taking trips like you did to Belize, getting away, allowing the mind, the body to just rest. You know, so many times we're just on this virtual, what I call a, like a wheel of just, you know, constant stress, constant doing, constant feeling like we've got to meet deadlines, do things for people, you know, doing things that we don't even necessarily want to do a lot of times. We're out there doing it. But
That's true. We really
have to decide that, you know, self-care is the most important thing that we can do, because we're not going to be able really to do anything for anyone else if we're breaking, you know, if our bodies are breaking down. So, you know, we get in particularly, you know, we black women get into a lot of, you know, care, taking care of everyone. Providing, you know, the family, the husband, the parents, you know, we're called upon to do a lot. We really are. But we have to start recognizing our limitations, and that's the first step, really, being able to recognize what you can and really can't do. You know, they say you can do a lot of things, but you can only do a few things well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just, you know, if we're just continually running on this treadmill, we've got to learn how to get off that and start taking care of ourselves. But I wanted to share, if I can, a couple more minutes. I was looking over.
Oh, sure,
my...
yeah, because I also would like for you to share with us a couple of the things that you do to enjoy your life. So, yes, go right ahead with your comments.
Okay, well, that's right in line with what I was getting ready to say. I love photography, and I love particularly taking photographs of butterflies. And I love gardening. So what I've done is I grow plants like the zinnia and the lantana. And then I have this butterfly bush that's growing at my front door. You may have seen some of the videos I put on Facebook this year, catching like 4 or 5 swallowtail butterflies at the same time on this butterfly bush. And just, you know, because they love those plants. They really love them. Lantana, you can just stand there for hours, really, and observe them if you're quiet. And if you don't make sudden movement, you know, they don't fly away because they're eating, they're pollinating, they're, you know, they're and they're nourishing on the plant. So I've been able to get my cameras and just get out there and take some photos and some videos. And I've even been fortunate enough to have some exhibits of my butterfly photos. But I was I want to tell you how I began this, really. Years ago, I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, me and a friend, and I stopped at a rest stop up there off right off the highway, and there were these the monarch butterflies that were on these zinnia plants that was growing at the rest stop. And these butterflies were so engaged in, like I said, just nourishing themselves off the zinnia plant. So I was able to walk up on them just very quietly and take their photos. And so that began my love of photographing butterflies and my realization that if you're quiet and if you, you know, if you don't have on any insect repellent, that's the other thing, because they, you know, they're insects, so you can't slather yourself down with insect repellent because they'll fly away from you, which I don't do that anyway.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So as long as you're in your natural, you know, you smell natural, you don't disturb them at all when you walk up on them and take a photo. But the monarchs actually make a trek from Canada to Mexico. You may have seen heard the story of the flight of the monarch butterfly. They actually go from Canada to Mexico, and vice versa. In the spring and in the fall, of the year, and when they arrive in Mexico, the Mexican people have a huge festival, and I want to go there. That's really on my bucket list of things that I really want to do. Go to Mexico. When the monarch butterflies, I mean, there are so many of them, you will step on them if you're not careful. They've all come down. But what I realize is they're making this long trek from Canada to Mexico. And along the journey, though, they're laying eggs, they're hatching out new ones all the while. Because the lifespan of the monarch is actually only 6 to 8 weeks long. And so the eggs that they're laying and the new ones that are hatching out are actually the descendants of the ones that started. Because the journey takes about 3 months total for them to make it from Canada to Mexico. So they're actually, the monarchs that arise in Mexico are actually the descendants of the ones that began in Canada. That was what was amazing to me.
That is.
Like, yeah. Isn't that beautiful? That's an awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, they're actually the descendants, but they know instinctively to keep going. You know, they hatch out along the way. Like I said, in Tennessee, they may have laid some eggs there. And those took off once they hatched out. Those took off and headed with the pack, going on to Mexico. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Intelligent,
Google.
Yes, intelligent life form.
They're beautiful. They really are. So Google the flight of the monarch butterfly. It's just, you know, it's just amazing.
That's fascinating. So, I love it.
It is. It really is.
Wow. Wow.
So. Think about the example, though, that they're setting. The journey that they're on was just a dream for their foreparents.
Wow.
Awesome. How much do we think about or work towards completing a journey or a dream of those who came before us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Maya Angelou says, rising, you know, still I in her poem, Still I Rise.
Yes, yeah.
And the ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise. I rise. I rise. So this is the example of the monarch butterfly for us.
I like that, Harriet. I had no idea. I remember as young children, our dad, it was once a year, and I'm thinking it was in the springtime, but I don't have a story like yours, you know, like why and how and the length of life or anything like that. But once a year, the birds that are called the swallows would return to this mission in San Juan Capistrano in Southern California. And we went every year, and it was just amazing to see all these birds migrate at this one location, you know. And so I know my dad took us. I don't know, you know, exactly what his purpose was for us to be able to go and to witness that, but it was just always something that blew my mind, you know, like, well, where all these birds come from? They weren't here yesterday, you know?
Right.
It's amazing.
They know. Yeah, they instinctively know to come back each year, just like the monarchs.
And we can learn so much from animals, you know?
We can. We really can. Just amazing. And like I said, when the ones that are around my yard, I, you know, get out there and sit sometime and just watch them, and they're going about their business. You know, sometimes they've aged, because I can see the I get a lot of the swallowtails, because that's the national butterfly for Georgia, is the tiger swallow butterfly. You know, that yellow one with the black stripe on the wing on it. That's the tiger swallowtail. It's the national butterfly for Georgia. And so I get a lot of them because they're very common to this area. But they hatch out under the they lay their eggs on the poplar tree leaves. And, you know, poplar trees are very, very common here. We have a lot of poplar trees. Because each butterfly has a particular plant or tree that it lays its eggs. It doesn't lay them anywhere. Yeah, the monarch lays theirs on the milkweed plant. Because you may have seen a campaign a while back to save the milkweed plant so that the monarch butterflies can lay their eggs there. Because they don't just lay eggs anywhere.
Right, right.
Each species has, and in fact, there's more than 17,000 different species of butterflies. The world over. Each continent and many countries have their own particular ones that are just common to their area only and not any other place. So it's just amazing the Creator's design of all of that. It's just you know, it just really blows you away.
It does. Mm-hmm. But you know, what I like to watch too is when the birds, when they're formed their pattern of flying, and there's one leader, and it's a like a V that they're going in, and that leader shifts, they rotate that position with the other birds that are in the flock, you know, so that no one is doing more than. Well, not more, that no one gets worn out in the process, that everybody's pulling their fair share. And I just find that so beautiful, you know, like, wow, you know, more of us need to do stuff like that versus always depending on, you know, that person over there to do it. Well, they'll do it, just, you know, how that commercial, give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything, you know, kind of like that, so.
They coordinate their activities so that the group is protected. The group is they work together. We can learn a lot. We can really learn a lot from the animals.
Yes, ma'am.
The examples that they set of working as a community, you know, working as working with one another. It seems like almost all creatures recognize the importance of working in unison, except for man. Okay.
You're so right. You're so right.
We fight one another constantly.
Yeah.
Vying for position, trying to outdo one another. You know, as a people. We have become so emotionally immature.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I was thinking about earlier today. People are so immature nowadays. It's like kids on the playground. You know,
so let me ask you a question, Harriet. Do you think that may come from the over usage of pharmaceutical drugs that's taken away the compassion of people one toward another? Do you think it could be, I'm going to say it like that it could be affected by the number of pills? Because, you know, the pill prescriptions, combinations the wrong prescriptions given to people by the doctors are like the two or three cause of death of America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you know in England it's not even legal to advertise medications on television?
Maybe that's where I should go, because I think it's insane.
Their reasoning is you don't tell the doctor what to prescribe for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. But see, the pharmaceutical companies here make sure they advertise medication so that when you go to the doctor, well, you'll say, well, I heard this such and such a pill should be used for such and such, you know, because they know. You're going to ask for what you heard in that commercial.
Exactly.
In England and Canada as well, it's not legal to advertise medication.
That's so smart. Now, I was just wondering, when you made that statement about being immature, you know, as adults, I'm like, wow, I wonder if the pills are having an impact on that. And I just,
You know what I think is having the biggest impact on that?
What's that?
Social media.
Okay.
Because people are constantly watching what other people are doing, listening to what other people think, till they can rarely even hear their own voices anymore.
Okay, yeah.
We've been so conditioned now with social media to listen to the crowd, to get involved in what's considered a mob mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The mob mentality is how they used to refer to the activity people would do when they would lynch black folks years ago. One or two people, you know, might think about hurting somebody, but just the two of them talking about it, one might say, "Well, let's not do that. That's not really my, I wouldn't really want to hurt anybody like that." But those same two people could get caught up with a mob and do things that they would not have done as a single person or as with one other person.
Mm-hmm.
They'll act with the mob. And psychological studies actually call that a mob mentality, where people get caught up doing something that they would not do if they were just by themselves or one other person. So we got the mob now on social media, see. We've got all of these voices of people saying, you know, well, so-and-so is better than me. So-and-so is taking over what I got. So-and-so, you know, they're not going to replace us. You know, we got the mob now talking to us.
Wow.
Social media. So that's how people start listening to these voices that, you know, cause insurrections and a whole lot of other chaos, because they're actually following behind a mob of people who have gotten out of control.
You know, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, they lack the ability really to think, to critically think for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I say they're very emotionally immature. So they don't take any time to think, well, how do I really feel about this? Is this really what I want, or is this what somebody told me I should think or should do? Am I really afraid of, you know, another race of people, or do I really feel like I'm being replaced by another race, or is that just what's been fed to me so many times because
mm-hmm.
I'm listening to this mob telling me I should feel this way, so I can,
wow.
I can get
mm-hmm.
caught up, you know, I can go to the Capitol and try to lynch the vice president and, you know, go into the senator's offices and defecate on the floor and, you know, just get caught up.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 So
but you know, you make so much sense, Harriet, because I know for me, I'm very limited on the time that I'm on that, I don't even know what to call it, but anyway, I'm gonna stick with the word social media. And
right.
I have people that be like, well, I sent you something on Facebook and you never responded. I was like, I go on Facebook once a day. That's first thing in the morning to wish people happy birthday and to post my daily message. And I check everything that's there, and then I come off. Very rarely do I go back on unless I am just bored to death and have nothing that I choose to do, and I go back on there. But people live on that thing. You know, they can't make a move without it. So I get that what you're saying about the mob mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's really what it's become, and like I say, it's giving people people don't have any longer the ability to do independent, critical thinking, analyzing their motives, you know, looking at alternatives if they're angry about something, or trying to reason even with themselves, or look at other sources to say, well, is this really true what they're saying? Maybe I should check another opinion over here. Maybe I should read a book or listen to somebody else other than the
mm-hmm.
mob, what the mob is telling me I should be thinking and doing.
Mm-hmm.
People are not able to separate themselves from it many times. Even young people, you know, whose brains are not fully developed so that they can do critical thinking,
mm-hmm.
they allow themselves to be bullied sometimes to the point of suicide because they can't get off that social media. And they're constantly tuning back in, listening to people who mean them harm, but they can't pull themselves away. It's become like an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot pull themselves away. Just put the phone down, you know.
Yeah.
Turn it off. You know, parents don't realize a lot of times how much time children are spending on that and how they're being impacted by what they're seeing. You know, they talked not recently about Instagram being something that's detrimental to particularly teenage girls. You know, encouraging food eating disorders like anorexia, anorexia, and bulimia, because you know they
that's back on the rise.
Yeah, constantly listen and see. Once you're on there, all you have to do is click on a particular subject, and then it'll start just sending you more and more information. You ever notice sometimes if you click on a particular thing, all of a sudden you get some other posts about that particular subject, you know.
On it, Harriet, enough to even know the algorithms and how it functions. And I know there was a time when I said, well, I need to listen to the music, you know, just to know what the kids were listening to and, you know, what the other part of the world was listening to. But I have no idea how that stuff works. I know people are saying, like,
Alexa, that if you have that and you are having a conversation with somebody, that all of a sudden what you're talking about to somebody else will come up on everything that you have, you know, your phone, your computer, everything. And someone was just saying, and I'm sorry to get off this, get on this tangent like this, but they were saying like all of that is memory, and that you can actually call to the manufacturer and have them to send your recordings from all of your devices that are controlled by your voice.
Wow.
I know, right? Because she had just done it. She said, I just sent for mine. I said, you sent for what?
And they actually can send you all of the stuff that they have recorded you saying?
That's what she said. I don't have any of that, so I don't know personally, but that's what she said.
Yeah, I don't have Alexa either. I have a phone and desktop computer.
Yeah, because I don't know if that robot, because she said something about something else. I don't know if that robot thing that's supposed to vacuum your floors, if that's voice command too. I don't know.
I think it is, actually. Voice command. I think you can get those little vacuums that you can command. Voice. Yeah, everything's recorded. Nothing is hidden.
I'll just say it.
If they need to find you, they'll find you. You know.
Yeah.
That's why this, this thing about they're trying to track down different folks that they can find people when they want to find people.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You don't ever hear them no massive manhunt looking for no black person. I can tell you that.
you don't absolutely ever hear right. That.
Looking for weeks for somebody black. They know where you are. They know where the Ray Ray and all of them have gone.
I find it really interesting, though, your comments on that mob mentality. That's really, I'm sure that whole scenario was already created before it became our reality. I wonder if we can get people to react or act or behave or respond in a certain way. And, they put people in these think tanks is what they call them, but these controlled environments and do all of these brain shocks and stuff on them, to see how they're going to respond and react. That's just,
And it don't even have to be that deep. It's the way people have been educated. Like I said when we talked last month about how the Daughters of the Confederacy stepped in around the turn of the century to make sure that African American history was not a part of the school book. They made sure that Confederate flag was brought back out because that had been put away now after the Civil War. But they got that Confederate flag back out. Started flying it again and in the schools, and even up to, even up to when I was in high school in the 1960s, the band would, they would fly that Confederate flag, and the band would play Dixie.
Wow.
Play that song Dixie at the pep rally.
Wow.
White kids get so excited when they would hear that, that wish I was in the land of cotton. And we would stand there and look like we had been given shots of Novocaine. We didn't really want to. We didn't really know what to say.
But
they were still doing that up until the mid 1960s, playing Dixie and flying that Confederate flag in the predominantly white school that we went to. They didn't do it in the the all black elementary school or the all black high school. That was in our neighborhood, not far from where we lived. But
look what they were creating, though, that mindset.
Exactly. And that was the purpose
awesome.
Of that. That was the purpose of getting all those Confederate statues built. and put up all thousands of them all over the country to memorialize the Confederacy, memorialize the their Civil, they, even though they lost the Civil War, still, like you said, the South controlled the narrative. The North won the war, but the South controlled the narrative because they made sure that their Confederate heroes were honored even to this day. And people say, well, it's all about history. It's just keeping up with. It's just that's just our history. We don't want to deny, learning about our history. But at the same time, they don't want slavery included in that history.
Right.
They don't want to learn the real story about, slavery and the Jim Crow era. They don't want that learned taught in history, though. But they feel like those Confederate symbols are okay because it honors their history.
That makes sense why it was so hard for the majority of people to put those flags away, because they were allowed to keep them for such a long period of time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got them back out specifically for that. Because after Reconstruction, and I don't know if you've ever seen any footage or read anything about the Reconstruction era. That was like 12 years from 1865 when the Civil War ended up until about 1872 or somewhere around in there, 10 or 12 years that the federal government actually sent troops to patrol the South, keep black folks who had been freed safe. And black folks were really allowed to somewhat organize themselves, start schools, start businesses. Some of them ran for public office because the 15th Amendment, he gave black men the ability to vote, not the women, but it gave, because no either white or black woman could vote back then. But the 15th Amendment gave black men the right to vote. So suddenly we had, black folks holding public office, black folks voting, folks having, buying land, starting businesses, organizing communities under the protection, of the federal government for those years.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the federal troops were pulled out of the South, then, the Klan reared its ugly head and just started really to undo a lot of the progress that had been made. People that had bought land, it got taken away from them. Suddenly, folks were starting to be killed, lynched. I mean, they lynched like thousands of people after that, and took away, a lot of the gains that people had made. So it was never really on an equal footing at all after those Reconstruction efforts were dismantled, and that was on purpose, that was really on purpose, because it was like being in no man's land. You can't live here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live, you can't live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prosper. So get back over here and start sharecropping. That's basically what they did in the South. And then a lot of blacks left the South, going north, what they call the Great Migration.
Mm-hmm.
Millions really got out of the South, fearing for their lives, really running for their lives.
The North and the West, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
My family, my mother and father went to California.
Yeah, dang. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
appreciate your commentary, Harriet, because I know we were not all taught the same history, whatever you want to call it. But that was just a subject for me that always seemed untrue. So I didn't want to learn it. You know, I didn't want to learn what they had in my history book because my spirit just felt that it wasn't true. You know, like
right. The
whole story is not being taught here. So why am I going to fill myself up with that? And I'm thankful that my spirit was rebellious like that, you know, because so many of us, you know, those that was chastised and bullied by our parents, that may not be an acceptable term, but was taught, you know, to follow the rules very strictly and to regurgitate everything that we were taught in the school books that we had, you know, even if they knew it wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? And so, and I appreciate because, like, I didn't know anything about the Trail of Tears until about 10, 15 years ago, you know, and some of those other issues, although my parents were from Louisiana, and we visited in Louisiana every summer, you know, but we didn't talk about history, you know, we didn't, other than our family history, you know, I could tell some of that, but we were so filled with shame and guilt that we wouldn't even, you know, tell the truth about our families and stuff, so yeah, your point is very well taken. Oh my God, thank you so much for that.
And that was the case really with all of us. My grandparents didn't, you know, they had dealt. My grandfather had been a sharecropper. He had had to deal with the Klan, you know, in the rural Georgia where they lived, and they didn't talk about that. They didn't talk about that past because it, you know, it was probably very scary. Number one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if something had happened, because they lived in that area of Monroe, Georgia, where those couples, that Moores Ford Bridge, where those two couples had been murdered years ago. They moved out of there after that happened. But I never heard anything about, you know, anything like that. And you know, the black folks just didn't talk about it. You just, you just did, for fear of your life. You didn't talk about it, but one of those ladies was actually a cousin of my grandmother.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, and, you know, and perhaps in maintaining those secrets and not have an open discussion may have made young children think that people were being submissive. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's another way that can be.
Yeah. That's why the kids have a saying today, I'm not my ancestors, you know, which to me is just crazy because they don't know what their ancestors went through, first of all, and why the ancestors had to many times, you know, assume a inferior or not inferior, but assume a more degrading posture. In front of white people, because, you know, even making eye contact sometimes would get somebody killed. You know, if you've ever gone to that museum in Alabama, the Truth and Justice Museum, and read on the wall some of the things that people were lynched for, you know, arguing, you know, suddenly startling a white woman. Arguing with somebody about you done paid your bill and you know, they're saying you haven't paid it. You might end up being lynched about it. So, I mean, it's just amazing the things that, you know, people could be killed for. So
I
see the reason why many of them just, you know, try to follow the course of least resistance and stay alive.
For sure. But I enjoy learning about our real history and not necessarily what was written in the books that were given to us to learn in school. Because I'm telling you, my spirit just knew that stuff was It was not right, you know. So,
you saw big pieces of history missing. You saw big pieces of our history missing. You know, how did we go from slavery to where we are now? There's nothing in there. You know, you heard about slavery. It made you feel, you know, ashamed and sad. And a lot of times we would just kind of tune out after that. I remember hearing that when I was in the eighth grade. And, you know, it just made me feel so sad. And, I, you know, didn't really want to hear much about anything after that about, you know, the history of black folks. And,
I
really didn't hear it in school at all. So.
Whew, well, that's been a fascinating conversation we've had. So we're getting down. We got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I wanted to give another plug for Vera Thomas's program. And honestly, Harriet, everything that you've talked about, and I think a lot of what I've talked about, really supports the necessity for the program that Vera is doing and is called Instilling Greatness in Myself and in My Children, because as Harriet just mentioned, you know, our young people, bless their heart, are saying that, you know, they're not their ancestors. Well, you know, perhaps that's something that can be addressed and discussed in this workshop that Vera is hosting on November the 6th. So her normal price, she was on the show at the very beginning, so I just want to do this ad for her. That's what I'm going to call it, because she is still out promoting her workshop. And so the regular price for the workshop is $197. For today, she is doing a special discount in honor of her two sisters and her mom, who are no longer living, and they all died at early ages. And she feels that this workshop and some of the skills that she teaches in the workshop does actually help to prolong life and to make it more rewarding. So, again, Vera Thomas is the one that is hosting it. It's called Instilling Greatness. The normal price is $197. For today only, up until midnight, you can get the program for $150. You would go on the site is bit.ly, be like boy, IT like Tom, .ly/instillinggreatness, bit.ly/instillinggreatness. And the password that you need is in all caps, my great, bit.ly/instillinggreatness. The password for the $50 off is my greatness. That's in all capital letters. Thanks, everybody, for being a part. And, Harriet, I so appreciate you with all the beautiful, wonderful knowledge that you were able to share with us tonight. And I love doing these open mics, you know, because we're not confined to any subject. Just allow it to all flow.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, thank you so much. You my girl.
You're great.
All right.
You're a great lady.
Yeah, thanks. So listen, everybody, next week we've got instructor Imam Benjamin Bilal coming back with part two to answer questions. You know, he took us right to the end last month, and so he has blessed us to come back and to be able to answer your questions directly. So until then, I am Sandy Rogers. I thank you for listening, participating, and remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So until next week, remain blessed, stay safe, and I love you guys. Talk to you very, very soon. All righty. Take advantage of that special.
health and wellness.
Thank you.